everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Craft of the Draft podcast. And an extra special episode today. We haven't had a guest on for quite a while now. And today we're joined by Kai Bloomfield. And Kai, you've been around the footy area for very good reasons at the moment. How are you, first of all? But tell us a bit about yourself, because I guess people listening will probably already have an idea. But for those who don't, give us a bit of an introduction about, you know, where you are at the moment, but just kind of where your football history has been over the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, firstly, thanks for having me. I love listening to this podcast. Your knowledge of the draft and the talent league is second to none. So it's awesome to come on. And no, I'm well. I'm very well. Lots of footy clubs at the moment. I guess my prime role at the moment is Trainstop. So I'm founded Trainstop, which is a sports recruiting platform, but then also run a training club, which looks to get people into the talent league and into VFL and AFL, which takes up a bit of my time at the moment, which we love. But have also been with Oakley and St Kilda and Xavier at the moment. So a few different footy clubs. So it's exciting. Round one's just around the corner, which is fun.
Tell us a bit about Trainstop, because you sort of talk about you enjoy listening to our podcast, and I probably enjoy sort of what you do at Trainstop. Obviously, it's big on TikTok, it's big on Instagram, and yeah, I've obviously recommended it and come down and watched a session, and probably the big thing taking away from that is how much of a squad feel it seems to be for a lot of boys that have come from a lot of different backgrounds. So what have you done to sort of foster that? And yeah, certainly they've got the opportunity to now go on and play local footy or play VFL footy or wherever it is, but because you have been able to engage those local clubs, but certainly from a culture perspective, what have you done to foster that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess firstly, like, the main idea with that is I just found like the gap between talent league training and club training was like the disparity between it was huge. So trying to sort of bridge the gap a little bit between training standards and give a platform for players that are just on the fringe or have just been cut. An idea of what it's like, and then also a place to train with like-minded people. So I guess the reason I sort of started it was I saw people like, you would know Jet Hartman,
yep,
who got cut by Eastern and then became a real prime mover for Oakley last year and was one of our better players. So I thought, well, there's got to be more players like that. And there were. I coached a guy at club level named Ed King, who was like fantastic at club level but had never really been given an opportunity at a higher level. And so he's now at Casey. We've connected him with Melbourne, and he's just thriving. He's played all their practice matches and is looking likely for round one. So players like that, there's a number. I could go on Lockie Monteith. I mean, he did get an opportunity. He was playing Eastern and now is doing really, really well with Essendon's VFL. So players like that, I just thought there needs to be, instead of these guys just going and playing club footy and perhaps getting lost to club footy and never being given this opportunity, as Ed potentially might have and a few others in the Trainstop club might have, I thought, let's give them a place to train with like-minded people and a place to enhance their training habits. So that's sort of what started it.
In terms of characters you're getting, because you talked about the difference between sort of training levels between club and talent league, what type of characters do you get in that come to Trainstop? Is there a big difference there from club to talent league level? Because obviously there's a bit more extra development at talent league level with wellbeing programs, etc. But how do you have to develop character to ensure these players are actually going to progress and give themselves a better chance?
Yeah, I think like character is the biggest thing. Like the players that we take on are players that really want to be there. And so we had a session on Sunday, and it was Sunday 8 a.m. out at Bulleen, and Luke McDonald took the session, the North Melbourne captain, and he couldn't believe like the willingness and the want of some of these guys on a long weekend, the Labor Day weekend, to come out to Bulleen at 8 a.m. Like we've got one guy, Cooper Webster, who comes from Yarrawonga, and he's a 15-year-old and like makes the trip every Sunday, every Thursday, sometimes leaves school early, which I probably shouldn't say, but I think he's got a doctor's appointment every Thursday afternoon to get out of school. But like that's the biggest thing, is the character and the want to be there. And then if you get a group of people who really want to be there and want to get better, then you find that they start doing things like getting earlier and staying later and asking questions and pushing each other. Whereas in a club environment, there's always going to be a few people who are sort of more there just for the fun of footy, which is great, which is fantastic, but they're not necessarily pushing those upper echelon players to new heights and challenging them. Whereas like in the Trainstop club, there's always players who are pushing each other and working on similar things. So, it's been awesome.
And there's players of different ages as well. Tell us a little bit about that. And I guess what the long-term plan is. Is there a long-term plan for those sort of 14, 15-year-olds? Do you sort of see, you know, becoming, you know, once they're sort of 18, 19, where they could be and what that journey with Trainstop could look like?
Yeah, so we started with a 16s and an 18s training group. And they were training separately. And then one training session, we went all in. And the 16s boys loved it and they thrived in it. And it sort of gave them an understanding of what the higher level under 18s is like. And then as such, the 18s, they found that it was a great opportunity for them to help coach and help teach and help pass on what they've learned through their upper years of junior footy. So it was a great win-win for both parties. And we've now such since January of this year, the 16s and 18s trained together and they all love it. So I guess the pathway for the under 16s is connecting them with talent league teams in their under 16s. So we've had a number of guys who've go through there. So Will Collinson's at Oakley. We've had Ryland Butler, who's at Gippsland, another one who makes a long travel trip each Thursday and Sunday. So connecting them with at least getting a trial game at those talent league under 16s and then going from there. So, but just to give them an idea of like working with guys like Jed and guys like Lockie and guys like Ed and just seeing their training habits and what it's like, I've found it's been awesome and they've loved it and guys like Jed and Ed have loved it as well. So,
and what are the performance strategies you've involved in Trainstop that you've kind of taken from your time at Oakley that you see make quite an instant impact with these boys? I guess talent league wise, they're drilled so heavily on quite specific things and you've taken these to boys who probably have got the fundamentals well, but what do those performance strategies look like and do you aim for short-term improvement with these boys that really just want to make a quick impact, advance at next level, or is it, you know, how do you balance that short and long-term improvement with the boys that come through?
Yeah, good question. So I think the biggest difference that the players find from going from club level to coming to Trainstop is it is like a talent league or an AFL program. It is like every session has a plan and purpose and is set to the minute.
Yep.
So whereas in, you know, club footy, you do a lap warm up and then it's a bit of kick to kick and then it's a bit of lane work and then it's sort of, there's no real plan or purpose. So I guess a difficult thing for me has been juggling the plan for individuals as opposed to a team, because we're not a team, like we're not going to play a game. So trying to focus on, we've got so many players down there now that trying to focus on individual goals has been a tricky juggling act, but everyone has an IDP, so an individual development plan as to where they want to get to and what they're working on. And then they come in a little bit earlier and work on that and stay a little bit later and work on that. And then longer term, everyone has a goal. So whether that be, you know, make VFL by year's end or get a trial game with Oakley at year's end or whatever it is, they've got a longer term goal and then a few things that they're doing on a weekly basis to get there.
How do you manage those expectations? Everyone obviously wants to end up on an AFL list. That's the ultimate goal for, you know, 99% of players, obviously, that would come through Trainstop. But for some people, it's not realistic, certainly in the short term. So how do you sort of go about making sure that they do get nourishment, even if it is from VFL footy or playing really good at local level?
Yeah, I think just being as honest as possible. I think sometimes coaches beat around the bush a little bit and sort of give you a big pat on the back and go, you're going really well, mate. And then, you know, you don't end up making a VFL or talent league team. And then the player's a bit confused as to, well, why didn't I? You know, my coach said I'm doing really well. So I guess just feeding them honest feedback. And it helps having players that are already at that level come down and regularly train with us. And you can, like, in real time compare. We'll go, like, hey, these are the training habits that, you know, Ed or Jed or Locke or whoever have, you know, is what you're doing marrying up with what they're doing. And, you know, if you're not getting that result, well, it's probably because your training habits are not, you know, to the quality that those kind of players are doing. So they can kind of see that in real time. And, but yeah, to answer your question, I think just being as honest as possible. And sometimes that's going to be hard and it's going to be, you know, tough to hear, but for them, it's probably the most beneficial thing.
I want to touch back on a kind of a point before that. You've got a great social following and I think that's a massive part of being so successful, because people are getting eyes on these kids. And I guess what led you to move down that path and grow that channel, especially TikTok? I mean, that's fantastic. And the numbers that gets, what does that kind of do for the players? I guess personally as well, why'd you sort of delve into that area? Because obviously it would have been, you know, could have just stuck and just said, we've got this, but you've made it a priority to give these boys some exposure. So sort of what's the background behind that?
Yeah, well, I guess it gives them a platform to, or it gives us a platform to show these players off and show what their strengths are and show what they can do. So, it started with showing off a few of the early players and like doing player profiles and where they're playing and what their goals are for the year. And we're getting back to doing that now. So now, like in the last week, like it's really targeted, and some of the more recent posts that we've done have been on player profiles and what they're doing. And in the last week, we've had Adrian Dodoro follow and some player agents follow and some, yeah, different recruiters follow and people at Talent League level follow. So like the eyeballs that are watching what these guys are doing now are really targeted, and it gives them like might be able to do a player profile on Eddie King and it might be viewed by 50,000 people. And, you know, maybe one of them is a player agent and they reach out to him and go, "Hey Ed, I've seen what you're doing this year and you're at Casey and you're killing it in the practice matches. You know, I'd love to sit down, have a coffee and have a chat." So I think just giving these players a platform to show what they're doing, and show them off. I mean, I'm super proud of all the hard work they're putting in. So, the ability to show everyone what they're up to and what we're doing is what I guess was the reason I started it.
How do you, or what have been some interesting things that people have sort of thought about Train Stop before they've come in, and how much do you sort of, not plan, but certainly, I guess, to some degree plan what that content's going to look like so it is sort of on brand, because that's what you do certainly on social media certainly seems to marry up with what you're doing when you're there off camera.
Yeah, it's funny. Some of the people that first came into the program, their parents maybe thought it was a bit of a scam, and it was funny. One of them even said, they called me and they said, "Oh, like what is this? I haven't heard of this," because they're not on social media.
Yeah.
Their kids all see it, and then they go to their parents and go, "Hey, can I join Train Stop Club?" And their parents are like, "What is Train Stop Club? I've never heard of that." And one of them, it was funny, they called me and said, "Oh, is this legit? Whatever." And ended up there, they put their son through it, and he's been a great member. And then we got invited to Collingwood Footy Club the other day, and his family are diehard Collingwood fans. And so we got like the full tour of Collingwood Footy Club, and his parents came in, and, his mum was like, "I'm so sorry. Like I thought this was an absolute scam at the start. And like now I'm in wearing my Collingwood hat coming through, and like, this is really cool." So, sorry, what was your initial question? Have I answered that?
Just probably about, the content and I guess how much time that takes to come as well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it does take a little bit of time. I'm trying to do more content on the players that we have in the club and what we're doing and where they're going and try to track their seasons. So trying to keep it as Train Stop related now as possible. But, yeah, it probably takes to do one of those videos maybe an hour, hour and a half.
Yep.
I'll segue now more to the Talent League side of things and ask you about your time so far at the Saints, and obviously you've been at the Chargers. Just a general question. Having been at the Saints now, how good is the Talent Pathway program? Because now you see you've seen an AFL, you know, program for a couple of months and being at a Talent League system, how close is the gap between senior football and Talent League football in terms of the development these boys are actually coming through in now?
I think it's about nearly as good as it could possibly be given the hours that you're given with some of these players. It is so hard to juggle, particularly for those metro teams like Oakley and Sandy, when those players are juggling school commitments and they're out for half the year and then they're back, and then the really top-end ones are also juggling Vic Metro and the national champs. And so like a player like Jagger this year, he might pull on six different footy jumpers. So for a club like Oakley, to his Talent League team, to manage him is really difficult because you maybe only see him in the middle part of the year for a handful of hours a week. So I think they do about as well as they possibly can. Having said that, I've only been at Oakley. I think maybe I would love to see some more resources put into it. Like the facility at Oakley is, Sandy is fantastic.
Yes, Sandy's fantastic. Yeah.
St. Kilda and pretty envious of that. Oakley's is probably a bit outdated, but I've heard that other clubs have got fantastic facilities. I think Murray, you guys would probably know better. Murray's is pretty good.
Yep.
I think obviously Sandy's is really good, but yeah, I'd love some some more money put into Oakley's. But I think to answer your question, they do it about as well as they can.
Tell us about the challenges that you sort of navigating with those kids like Jagger who would be pulling on six different jerseys. You talked about all of those. I've also got the AFL Academy for those sort of top 20, 25 boys. What are the challenges you're sort of dealing with the fact that they would have five or six different voices in their ear from a senior coaching perspective, plus recruiters, plus, you know, player agents, plus assistant coaches? What are the challenges you're dealing with to try to streamline the focus as much as possible?
Yeah, I suppose just making sure that the message that they're hearing marries up across all six voices. I think Jagger could coach himself. He's the most professional junior player I've seen come through for a long, long time. So he does everything very diligently. But I think with players like that, yeah, just making sure that the messaging is marrying up, because I think it would be really confusing to run out under six different coaches who are saying six different yep. things, you know. Run off at stoppage or stay at stoppage, or like, it would be really confusing. So just making sure that everyone's communicating and on the same page would be what I would say.
What are the best relationships you've developed with boys over time at Oakley? And I guess even if you were to give advice to players who do make Oakley system, what separates the top talent, but not even top talent from bad talent, just talent that you can see commitment in and that thrives, even though they might not be as skilled as your Jaggers, but they still grow really well. I guess relationships you've had over time, where do you see those differences and those little things that make you stand out and at least progress really well?
Yeah, I'll probably come back to Jed Harmon. Like, he got cut by Eastern and did a trial game. Oakley run a trial game in April against Sandy, and he played in that, and that was the first time I saw him, and just intercepted everything and read the ball really well. But then his character and coachability, like, he'd come off and ask for feedback, and he was always, I spoke to him yesterday, and he's always first on the track and always last to leave, and like, always notepad in every meeting, and always actively seeking feedback and asking for more clips and asking for more to do. Like, even yesterday he called me and said, like, I feel like his strength is aerial ability and his intercepting capacity. And he said, I feel like I'm not able to show that as much with Collingwood at the moment. And you know, what can I do? You know, can we do some extra stuff? He's just always seeking feedback. So I guess that, I mean, like, he would be the first to admit that he's not the most silky and talented player. Like, he doesn't have the natural skills that someone like Jagger does have, but his work rate and his work ethic and his coachability is second to none. So, and that's given him the opportunity at Talent League level and now VFL and hopefully soon potentially AFL.
Yep. Yeah, certainly. Well, tell us a little bit more. Yeah, and you touched on it before with, you know, the different jerseys that they're pulling on, but public and private, juggling that for Oakley throughout the season, particularly the kids that go off and play private school footy. And I guess from a cultural point of view, what things you're trying to do as a club to sort of facilitate the best culture you can so that you can develop them as best they can, whether they are playing, you know, through the middle of the year, then they do come out of the team when, I guess, the more highly regarded players come back in, or whether they are kids who are playing the first three games and the last four games. How are you sort of managing that?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, with my time at Oakley last year, like, we had to, you kind of, you have to plan for it. So in your list management at the start of the year, when you're making your cuts, like, you have to make sure that you have enough public school boys there. Yeah. and enough, so you're not, your list is not totally comprised of just privates that are all going to leave. So just having that balance and getting your list management right from the get-go really helps. And if you get that wrong, you can come a bit unstuck towards the middle of the year. So managing that at the start of the year. And then it's also like, it's in the middle of the year, it's a great opportunity for some of those publics to get that exposure at that level who may not have had it before and who may not have gotten it if the privates didn't leave. And sometimes you unearth some real gems in that time, and you can see
Jed Hartman,
yeah. Harry Eels this year for us was fantastic and got that opportunity in the middle of the year. So there's a number for Sandy and Oakley and clubs like that that do get unearthed in that time. So it can be a real win as well.
Well, do you want to touch on some players now?
Touch on some players
and give us a bit of a profile. We're going to touch on, obviously, on brand, under the radar boys, because we know Finn, Jagger and Tom Gross are all going to be in top 10. They're good already.
Yeah, we know them.
To start with Lucas Tovey.
You would have worked with him, obviously, being, you know, in the back line last year, and he's one who, I guess, some key defenders can come into that role a little bit late. It might be their top AG by the time they're coming in, but you've given him a little bit of exposure. He closed down Archer Reid last year. He's obviously now at West Coast. So what's it been like working with him, and what's the scope for him, do you see?
Yeah, he's fantastic. So he started as a ruckman, obviously, and then one of our coaches last year, Paul Griffiths, decided to put him down back, and it was a fantastic move. Like, he's just got fantastic, like, he's super athletic, so he's got fantastic closing speed and long reach. And he's really hard to play on. He's really worked on his intercept marking as well. And he's now become a real leader. Like, having games, quite a few games last year, he's now gone into this preseason as a real leader. And in drills, in match simulation, like, really putting people in positions and setting places up. And so he'll be a real leader for the back line for Oakley this year. So I'm really excited to see what he can do in his top age year. He's so athletic and another one that's really coachable.
You've got the list. You can keep naming. I don't mind if you keep naming.
Yeah, no. Well, Tighe McCarthy as well is obviously one who's spent a bit of time at Collingwood, being part of their NGA program, and probably that under-17s game out at Werribee from memory last year. He took a couple of really nice intercept marks. His flight of the ball seems to be really good. So, how's that development look like with him?
Yeah, fantastic. Obviously another back player. So someone I worked with closely last year. One game stands out for me was the Tassie game down there last year, where I think in the first half he took 6 intercept marks, which was just unbelievable against a really strong Tassie team. So I'm really excited to see what he can do this year. He's another one that'll balance private school footy down at Carey with Oakley commitments and hopefully some other games potentially. But he's a great kid and another one that is just super diligent with his preparation. Like, we had a little group pre-training that was just intercept marking, and it really showed, like, on game day. Like, we had a number of really great intercept marks last year, like Jet, like Tierley, like him, like Tove, and it comes back to the half an hour that they were doing pre-training, doing aerial work, and he's one that gets to training early just like Jed and is constantly looking to improve his game. So I'm really excited to see what he can do this year.
A couple of boys who are balancing VFL and Talent League this year in Boston Dowling and Ollie Barter. Mm. They've both had different journeys. They're both 19-year-olds. Ollie, obviously, a little bit injury interrupted. Boston, that sort of raw ruck who's sort of come back to develop for that extra half season or season, depending whether he gets taken in the mid-season. What do their journeys look like? And what's that like, balancing VFL and Chargers, from what you've seen? You obviously had Luke Teal, like you touched on last year.
Yeah, so someone like Boss, I think it'll be fantastic for both of them, but someone like Boss to get experience against grown men in VFL ruckman will be fantastic, and I think it'll be something that'll give him real confidence coming back to Talent League footy and knowing that he can compete. And obviously the head coach at Collingwood VFL is Josh Fraser, who will be a fantastic mentor for him, no doubt. So having that experience, and he's put on a little bit of size as well, I think he'll come into games at Talent League level super confident this year and ready to use his frame a bit more than he perhaps did last year. And then Barter, I mean, he battled a little bit of injury last year, but Barter at his best is unbelievable. So if he can get a full consistent year this year playing at Oakley, he's another one that was a leader for us last year. He's been at Oakley for, I think, like 5-6 years now. Like, he's been there for a long time. So
he tried for Vic Metro as a bottom major, I reckon, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So if he can get a full consistent run at it this year, like Carlton, he's obviously at Carlton. Carlton, I think, are pretty keen on him. So hopefully he can get a few games with Oakley this year and kick a few goals. And he loves a celebration, so hopefully a few post-goal celebrations.
I was going to ask where his best footy's played, because he obviously played a little bit down back last year, but I think there was the desire to play him forward later in the year before obviously that injury punctuated those plans.
Yeah, I think forward. Like you said, he did play a bit off the half back line, and that run and carry is unbelievable. We had a lot of it last year with Filler as well and him when he was up and running, but he played school footy last year as forward, and I think he's been playing a fair bit with Carlton VFL down forward. So I think he'll be a forward this year.
Luke Quayne is one you've really liked, Nathan.
Yeah, he's so much like his brother, and we keep learning that week on week. How do you actually deal with someone like Luke, who obviously has the name behind him? From a personality standpoint, I'm sure he's a great character. Like, but have you ever had to sort of deal with that? You've got kind of external noise, just naturally Collingwood fan base is going to be interested. How does he focus and zone in on his footy each week?
Yeah, he apart from the fact he looks identical to his brother, you wouldn't actually know it. Like, it's not something he talks about. It's not something that you would actually know. He's so humble. He's so down to earth. I honestly don't think it affects him and phases him at all. I mean, he's head down, bum up. He knows he's he's set for a big year, coming off pretty much a full season as a bottom ager. He's put on a heap of size, if that's possible. He looks as built as his brother. I don't know what they're feeding them. They are just huge. So I think he will be ready to really bust through tackles a bit more this year off the half back line and really test some tackles and test some younger bodies in the talent league. He's got a man's body. He's ready to go. So I'm excited to see him this year dash off the half back line and take players on, and just like his older brother is.
Charlie Richardson is one I'm so high on, and I know he polarizes opinion to some degree because of his size. Is he big enough to be that position that he plays? But his ability to kick a long ball and his jigs above his head are probably as good as anyone for his size. What's that sort of scope or development looked like for him, and where do you see him getting to this year?
Yeah, well, I think he's still growing firstly. I mean, he's still only 17, I'm pretty sure. So I really like him. He's a really clever footballer. He's a good hit up forward. He's got a good set of hands, and he puts it through more times than he doesn't. So I think he'll play at school footy in a really strong team down at Brighton. And then at Oakley, I think he'll be the key forward down there. So yeah, I mean, he got a bit of a taste for it last year with a handful of games, and I think he's set for a full season at Oakley this year when he's not playing school footy. So I think once he puts on a little bit more size as well, he'll be a really tough matchup.
100%. And Pat Reshko, we saw him in the Oakley Pracky a couple of weeks ago, 32 disposals he got and was a clear class above. Obviously coming off that ACL injury, which scuppered that back end of 2022 and a lot of 2023 for him. Give us a bit of an insight into him. There's people that wouldn't know him. He obviously played off halfback a bit last year as well when he had probably that standout game against Gippy, if I remember Gippy. Right. Yeah, yeah,
43 touches.
He'll get a chance through the midfield, I take it. Well, it'll be hot property in there, I suppose, this year. So.
Yeah. Oh, he's obviously an accumulator. Like he just finds the ball like no one else. And I think a lot of it comes back to his work rate. Like he is, for those who don't know, he's one of the fittest players I've ever seen, like sub 6 minute 2K. His background's in athletics, so he just follows up. His follow-up work is second to none and just gets to the right spots and then follows that up and gets hands back. So another one that'll juggle between private and Oakley footy this year with Caulfield, which will be another strong team. Whether he's playing half back, half forward or full back, he'll get 30 touches. Like he racks it up and tends to use it pretty well as well. So he's another exciting one that, yeah, as you said, before the injury was, you know, a top five, top 10 sort of ranked player. So I've no doubt he'll get back up to that.
Is that all our players?
I think that's all our players. Yeah.
Last question for you to wrap up, I guess, when you look 12 months ahead, where do you want to be? Where does Trainstop want to be? What are you most excited for this year even? What's the look ahead for you?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a couple more that I'm really excited for at Oakley. Zane Cochran, the other game. Did you go to the Northern Oakley game?
No, we've got footage of it though. We do have footage. Yeah.
Yeah, so he put on a clinic. He kicked four goals and one was touched on the line.
And I think, he's one that, we've heard about from Oakley as well.
Yeah, 28 odd touches. Yeah. So he absolutely killed that. He's a Kerry boy. And then another Kerry boy, Quinn Mackay.
Yep.
Who they've brought in this year, who's a big unit, and he'll play as a key forward. He looks like he's about 30, like he is just built, and he'll take some big clunks, no doubt, this year. But
how much do you know about the bottom ages?
Not as much as I should. Yep. I'm not there this year now, as you know. So, there is some top end talent there, like Louis Emmett, Sammy Allen, the Scotch boys there.
Yeah.
Ngara, I think he kicked four goals a couple of weeks ago in a cracky match. So there's some real top end talent coming through the bottom ages, which is exciting. It'll be a good mix this year between top and bottom. Whereas last year was probably a bit more bottom age heavy with the likes of the Jaggers and the Finns coming through. So I think there'll be a really nice blend there this year, which is exciting.
Sam Grillage, one that's gotten a bit of talk as well, speaking to people.
Perform well.
That Pracky game as well, that Oakley intra-club.
Yeah, Grill's a smooth mover. And another intense trainer. Like, he's Jagger-like on the track. He's, like Jags, I've said it before, like, he will crack it over a handball game, which is the kind of competitiveness and intensity that you need. And it's the kind of thing that brings others up. And Sammy's just the same. He's just like that. So, an intense trainer and a smooth mover.
Yep.
So goals this year.
Yeah, back to your initial question. Yeah, food train stop?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah,
you personally as well.
Yeah, so obviously I've released the Train Stop app, which is a sports recruiting platform which looks to connect players with clubs. So looking to grow that. We've got quite a few hundred clubs on there now and just over 5,000 users. So continue to grow that. We want to, as we were talking pre-air, want to grow that into Adelaide and WA and other states. So that's a big part of the goal. And then growing the Train Stop Club as well once we roll into October and November, setting up a few other clubs in other states and territories. Obviously Victoria's going pretty well, so set up get regular DMs from people in Perth and even the NT in Queensland with questions as to how they can get involved. So we'd look to set up some training camps and clubs up there in those areas. So growing the app and growing the club and trying to give as many players as you guys do that aren't on the radar, as many players like that opportunities as possible. So that's the plan this year.
And last one, you can be biased. Who's going to win the Talent League Premiership this year?
I will be biased and I will say Oakley. Yeah, I think like the full strength Oakley side, on paper at least, is I think the strongest this year. So I think once they get all the privates back towards the back end of the year, they'll be hard to beat.
Do you have an APS Premiership prediction?
Yeah, I think probably Brighton.
Yeah,
I think Brighton looked pretty strong. Caulfield are always strong.
Up there. Yeah.
What do you guys think? Talent League?
Our predictions are Wednesday.
Oh, they're coming out. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The great end to the podcast. Tune in next Wednesday.
Yeah, perfect.
This Wednesday, tune in for the boys' season preview. No, but thank you, Kai, for joining us. Really appreciate it. Love watching your stuff. And, make sure to head over to Kai's Train Stop channels and get a good look, because in terms of just if you're a player that wants to get some more experience, elevate your craft, great place to go. So thank you, Kai, for joining. Wednesday, boys season preview, where we will give our premiership predictions. I actually don't know that many of yours, to be honest,
okay,
but we're going to go through it. Message us if you want us to answer a question as well. But that is all for now. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you in the next episode.